I tell you, the Christmas story is a story that's all about commitment. Let's go back, take a look at how we approached spiritual perspectives from the book of Luke, part of Luke, a while back, and take a look at commitment and see if we can commit ourselves to committing ourselves during the holiday season. What better way to spend it than committing to the ones most important to us, especially our Creator? Hello, and welcome to Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr.
Said the night wind to the little land,
where we are letting Miss Carrie Underwood help us out as we start this week's edition of Spiritual Perspectives.
Way up in the sky, little land.
I know you know the song.
Do you see what I see?
She asked the question, do you see what I see? But the name of the song is, do you hear what I hear? She asked that earlier.
Dancing in the night with
how many of you remember? Recall how there was a star in the sky that helped to guide the wise men to the place where the Savior had been born.
Said the little lamb to the shepherd boy, do you hear what I hear?
I would like to take us to the book of Luke as we take a look at what happened at the very beginning of the life of Jesus Christ, all the way to the point where it had been foretold, it was being foretold by an angel that the Savior of the world was about to be born. I tell you what, this is just a fascinating series of events. And we're going to still, you know, kind of move away from the journey of Abraham as it has to do with what was going on in Abraham's life while he was here. And we've actually fast-forwarded quite a bit to the person to whom Abraham was looking the most when it came to all that God promised him. God had promised him the land. And of course, that would be the land of Canaan that God would be giving to Abraham's descendants. He had promised him that he would make his name great. He had promised him a son. He had promised that through this son, blessings would come upon the whole world. The nations would be blessed. The nations, plural. So we're off of Abraham's journey as it pertains to Abraham's actual life in the earth. But we are fast forwarding during the Christmas season, the holiday season, to the moment that Abraham had looked forward to. Remember, I shared with you before, John 8:56, the Lord Jesus said, Abraham longed to see my day. He did see it and rejoiced. So as I've shared before, Abraham understood that when God said to him, through your son, all nations of the earth will be blessed. Abraham understood then that God was talking about his plan of redemption, his plan of salvation, and how that would come to the nations through this special son who really and truly was even more special, is more special than Isaac, the first son that Abraham had with his wife, Sarah. So we're fast forwarding to the time that this son, whom God had promised, would be born into the earth. And so we're in the first chapter of Luke. And let's take a look for a few minutes at the birth of someone else who would also play a significant role in Jesus' journey. Someone who was going to pave the way by letting people know that they needed to prepare. They needed to be prepared for the one who was coming. Just a few months apart. Just a few months apart. You see, this one would come. His name is John the Baptist. He was the one who was commissioned to prepare the way for the Lord. They were only a few months apart in age. And so he was going to prepare the way. And as people listened to John the Baptist preach his sermons, preach his messages, they were not going to have to wait 30 years to hear from the one for whom John was preparing the way. Just a few months apart in age, they would be able to hear from the one whom John the Baptist was referring to in John the Baptist's lifetime. So, Luke chapter 1, and again, I'll be reading from the New International Version, the NIV, beginning at verse 5. In the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. Hold it right there for just a moment, because this is something that I think will be very, very helpful to us if we keep some of these facts in mind. Remember when God began the priesthood, he made it clear to Moses, the one who would anoint the high priest, the first high priest to serve over the nation of Israel. That first high priest is Aaron. And Aaron's sons would serve as priests under Aaron's authority, under Aaron's supervision, under Aaron's oversight, with Aaron, the high priest, overseeing, supervising the activities of the priests who were under his authority. God set all of this system in place after he had Moses lead the people out of bondage, lead them out of slavery, lead them out of that hard life that they were living in the land of Egypt. Got them out of that land, and he set into place the priesthood. And the way it was supposed to work was it was supposed to be passed down. The priesthood, with its responsibilities, its honors, etc., were not supposed to be just given out to whoever decided they wanted to be a priest. Aaron and his sons were to remain holy before the Lord. They were to serve the Lord faithfully. And the priesthood was supposed to be passed down from generation to generation to generation within that family line. So now, we hear in the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah, a priest who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife, Elizabeth, was also a descendant of Aaron. Ah, very significant. So here we have it. Abijah was a descendant of Aaron, and we know that. If we read it historically, we'd know that. But we don't have to go into the Old Testament to find Abijah and trace his history, trace his lineage to see where he comes from. They really give us the answer right here. His wife, Elizabeth, was also a descendant of Aaron, which lets us know Zechariah was a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were upright in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commandments and regulations blamelessly. This is an awesome couple. Man, ladies and gentlemen, let's do this. I'm serious, let's do this. We can still do this. Times were hard and ugly when Zechariah and his wife Elizabeth were in the earth. We can't make excuses. Husbands and wives, as couples, let's talk with each other about God's ability to help us be the kind of people he wants us to be as individuals and as couples. And maybe during this Christmas season, talk with each other and make the commitment that you will be a couple who, as individuals and as a union, as a united couple, will truly please God in the way you live your lives. Let's do that. Not just the husband, not just the wife, but the husband, yes. The wife, yes. Each of them as individuals with their individual commitments to Christ, but also their commitment as a couple, that they will hold each other accountable. They will encourage and inspire each other. They will be loyal and faithful to each other. They will be loyal and faithful as a couple, walking as one, living as one in a way that pleases the Lord God, who has saved us, renewed us, regenerated us, given us new life with new power to live the life, to live that new life that he wants us to live. We can do this. We can't do it in our own power, but with the power of the Holy Spirit, we can do it. Let's make that commitment. Both of them, verse 6 says, were upright in the sight of God. They weren't upright based on their rules and regulations, based on what they said was right, based on what they decided was righteousness, as God looked upon them. He determined that they were upright. Both of them were upright in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commandments and regulations blamelessly. But they had no children, because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well along in years. Ladies and gentlemen, what couple have we read about that had the same challenge? The wife was barren. They were old and they had no children that came from both of their bodies. Yes, indeed. Abraham and Sarah. Verse 7, they had no children because Elizabeth was barren and they were both well along in years. Verse 8, once when Zechariah's division was on duty and he was serving as priest before God, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time for the burning of incense came, all the assembled worshipers were praying outside. How many of us are blessed to have truly godly leaders? I don't mean people who, you know, put on and they pretend that they're godly. They pretend that they're righteous. How many of us are truly blessed to have truly saved, righteous leaders? When you're a righteous leader, because that's what Zechariah was. He was a righteous priest. And he was the one going in to serve God, burning the incense, having the incense combined with the prayers of the people, so that that could go up to heaven. The Lord received that as a sweet fragrance. When the time for the burning of incense came, all the assembled worshipers were praying outside. How many of us are blessed to have righteous leaders who will go before the Lord and minister to him? And while the righteous leader is ministering before the Lord, the rest of us who are assembled together are praying to the Lord, so that the ministry of that righteous leader combines with the prayers of those of us who are sincere worshipers, so that our sincere prayer, our sincere worship, combines with the sincere ministry of this godly, righteous leader, as the Lord God beholds it all. Verse 11, then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, appeared to Zechariah, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. Now, how many of us can really relate to Zechariah, at least understand what he was going through? He's in the temple ministering to the Lord. He knows this process. And you think about, you're in a room in your house, a room you're very, very familiar with, a room where you have spent hours and hours over the course of several years praying and talking with God, praising God, worshiping him, studying his word, so that you get to understand him better, so you can relate to him better, so you can connect with him more intimately. And you've done this for years, over and over. You're on your knees praying. You're on your knees singing. You open your eyes and you lift your head towards heaven as you continue to let God know how much you appreciate him, how much you love him. And all of a sudden, someone's standing next to you. Someone you've never seen before. And all of a sudden, they did not open the door to enter the room with you. They just appeared. They were just there. Wow. And you got to understand, when these angels appear, they appear in power and with authority. The angel of the Lord, an angel of the Lord appeared to him standing at the right side of the altar of incense, the very altar at which Zechariah was ministering. The exact place where he was burning the incense. He knows there was no one there before. And now all of a sudden, someone has appeared. And he was gripped with fear. What happened? Immediately afterwards, I'll tell you when I come back.